Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's message from First Orlando. You can find even more content, including video archives of this and other past messages, at firstorlando.com. And if you're in the Orlando area, be sure to visit us sometime soon. Now, enjoy this podcast from First Orlando.
Jesus is. Give him praise. He is. That's all you got to say. Jesus is. And as we filled in that blank by the sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John, we come to one today that's really three. But he said it in one moment. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And that one statement is all we need. But knowing when he said it and how he said it, did you know he said that in answer to a question? In fact, go through the New Testament sometime and look at how much we learn, how many truths were given as the result of a question. Somebody asked a question, and the answer was given either by the Apostle Paul or by Jesus or whoever was writing the scripture at that moment. So here's what I want to tell you. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask. Because it's in asking we get some of the greatest truths, and this is absolutely one of the greatest truths. You'll find it, John 14. So if you got a Bible, go to John 14. It's the night before Jesus dies. And it's literally in the middle of the night, maybe early morning. As Tyler said, this is Palm Sunday. This is the week we celebrate. We remember. I mean, I don't know any other term to use it other than a week that changed history. It changed our life. And tonight, as we gather to worship and break bread together and have communion, is to remember what this week means, to remember what he did. And we'll do it in an incredible way with worship. But as Jesus came into the city on this day, Jerusalem was filled with people. I mean, it was really a big crowd. Some estimates are over 500,000 were in the city of Jerusalem because it's Passover. And so Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, no less. People are gathered along, and what are they crying? What are they saying? Hosanna, Hosanna, which means God save us. Now, they may not have understood exactly what he had come to save us from. They were thinking Rome. But Jesus was thinking, no, you got an enemy worse than Rome. That enemy is you. And he came to set the captive free. Every one of us held in the bondage of sin and the dominion of darkness. And Jesus had come to say, I will be the king over your life. No longer will you live in a prison. So he comes riding in. They're praising him. And by Thursday night, the disciples are scared to death. They don't know what's happening. John 13 relates how Jesus washed their feet. I mean, that was a tremendous moment for them. And then that's the moment in chapter 13 when Judas leaves the room. Jesus calls him out. And by the way, Jesus did wash his feet. So anytime you hear somebody say, oh, Jesus didn't wash the feet of someone who was a sinner, yes, he did. In fact, he washed the feet of someone who betrayed him, and he knew he was going to betray him. And hours before, he washed his feet. So the disciples are trying to figure it all out. And Jesus, somewhere from John 13 to John 18, where the crucifixion narrative starts, there's some of the greatest teaching you'll ever read in those chapters, chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Chapter 14. Jesus looks at him and said, hey, I know you guys are troubled. Don't be. Believe in me. You believe in God? Believe also in me. And he gives one of the greatest truths. In fact, three of them. This truth is one that when you don't know what to do, when you're in one of those situations where your heart is troubled and you have no idea how you're going to deal with this or how you're going to make it through, I want you to remember these three. I promise you, they'll keep you crispy in milk, if you know what I mean. Three truths. Here they are. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the ultimate truth. Jesus is the source of life. Every one of those anchored in this one moment. So I want to read with you, starting in John 14, 1. Okay? And I'm going to read it off the screen because I want to interact before we get to the question that Thomas asks, all right? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it disappoints you, you wanted to see the word mansions. Just hang on. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. Now, that has a question mark. When I read that in the original language, I don't read it as a question. I read it as a statement. And it's a real kind of one of those debates that scholars have. I just think he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you're going to be there with me. You're going to be there also, and you know the way to where I'm going. Now, this is what Jesus says in that moment. And he speaks this because, like I said, they don't know what's happening. He could tell they were so troubled. Did you know the word troubled is the same word that's used to describe Jesus when he says, there's one of you going to betray me, and it says his heart was greatly troubled. So I don't know how to define it any other way than to say, have you ever been in a moment when you had no idea what you were going to do? When you felt hopeless or you felt like, I don't know the next step to take. I'm not sure what the next moment holds or what tomorrow holds. I just think it's a way a lot of us live. I mean, it's a part of our life today to be troubled. Well, then hear Jesus. Believe in him. Believe him. And he says to them, I'm going to go get a home ready for you. So let's talk about that mansion. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about heaven. He's talking about home. And so the debate is, hey, do we get a room or we get a mansion? I don't think it matters. We get to be where Jesus is. That's what matters the most. I don't know if it's brick and mortar. I don't know if it's a mansion. I think in our context, you know, we like the word mansion because we understand what that word means. I think for us, we've got to hear what Jesus is saying. Hey, the most important thing, I'm going to go get ready and I'm going to take you to be with me. In other words, you're going to have a home. You're going to be with me. My wife and I, when we first got married, she grew up in a nice home. I mean, it wasn't extravagant. It was a nice home. Her dad was a doctor, and he had two floors, and so two-story house. I grew up in a single level, but it was a nice home. Do you know what our first home was after we married? I mean, literally, after we married, we moved in a trailer, a mobile home. 10 by 50 mobile home. Now, if you don't do the math, 10 feet wide, 50 feet long, that was it. It was just big enough. You could put a bed in the bedroom. That's all we had room for was the bed. In fact, you walk in and fall in the bed. That's the only thing you could do. You don't walk around the bed. And a little bitty kitchen and a tiny little kind of living area. It was tiny, but to us, it was a mansion. To us, it was our home. You know why? Because we were there together. I'm telling you, one of the greatest promises is that wherever heaven is where Jesus is. And I don't care which way that is. I just want to know it's where Jesus is. And he said, I'm going to take you home. And you're going with me. Now, for me, the disciples are listening to this, and there's confusion. They're not quite sure. So Thomas asks a question, okay? Now, this is not a question of doubt. Thomas is not doubting. He got a bad rap being doubting Thomas. He just made one comment one day about, I want to see him. I'm not going to believe you guys. I want to see for myself, which is a great statement. In this situation, this is what he said. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So that one question, Lord, we don't know. What are you talking about? Where are you going? Was the beginning of one of the greatest truths that Jesus ever spoke. So let's look at it. Let's break it down. If you were to take it out of the Greek, lift it straight out of the Greek, this is the way that would be translated accurately in English. I alone am the way, the truth, the life. The definite article is in front of every one of them, which is unusual. He could have just said, I'm the way, truth, and life. But he wanted you to hear, I am the way, the truth, the life. And the way the first part of that is constructed with the preposition, I alone, meaning that's it. I'm the only way there is. I'm the only truth there is. I'm the only life. And Jesus spoke that into the troubled hearts of disciples as if that's supposed to bring peace and calm. Yeah, if you really understand it. So what's he saying through that? Well, let's just take it one by one. Jesus is the only way. Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't say, I'll show you the way? He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll teach you the way. He said, I am the way. What we have missed, we think Jesus is talking about how we live our life. He's talking about doctrine. He's talking about correct belief. He's talking about behavior. No, he's not. He's talking about himself. He is the way. So you're saying that when I put my faith in Jesus, I'm putting my faith in a person, not a doctrine. That's exactly right. Let me show you the difference. Whenever you're lost, how many of you have been lost on this campus? You've actually been somewhere, you're like, I'm not sure how to get back to my car, right? Well, I just want to encourage you. We found a deacon last week that had been lost a couple of years. We didn't know where he'd been. He was in a room back over here. I mean, seriously, it's a crazy big place. So if you're lost, you're not sure where to go, which is more helpful for you? You walk up to somebody and say, hey, man, I don't know where to go. And this is what I'm looking for. And they go, okay, what you need to do is you need to walk down a hallway. You'll go by three doors. And then on the fourth door, you'll turn to the left. Or what if they look at you and say, hey, let me just take you there. Which one would you prefer? The first or the second? The second. Is that not incredible? My wife just got back from skiing. My middle son, Andrew, and his wife, Kayla, and our two grandchildren, they had booked a place out in Steamboat Springs. And so Rachel went along, and my oldest son went. And my grandchildren got to ski for the first time. They did great. They were incredible. And so Rachel's there. She told me she wasn't going to ski at first. She said, oh, no. And she's an incredible skier, y'all. I mean, she is incredible. She said, I'm getting too old. I'm not going to do that. Well, she got out there and got to see everything and all of it happening. She's going, I got to do this. I got to get my skis. And she got her skis and her boots. And if you've never been snow skiing, it's the most awkward, clumsy sport in the world. But it's the most exhilarating when you get on those skis finally. But she had her stuff. And she's like, I'm ready to go. And then she realized she didn't have a lift ticket. And so she's in this little store down at the base of the mountain. She asked this guy, hey, where do I get a lift ticket? I forgot to get it. He goes, well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to walk. And then he said, hey, ma'am, why don't I just take you? She goes, okay. And so here they go. He's walking her the whole way, talking to her. And he says, hey, by the way, when we get there, I'm going to give you a code. Give them that code. And she goes, what's that for? I said, well, they give you a little discount. It was a 90% discount. She shows up. She gets the lift ticket, and the guy's already gone back. She said, I had to go back and say thank you. And she said, it just meant the world to me that he would take the time and physically walk with me. Guys, Jesus is saying to you this morning, I'm the way. I'm not just pointing you the direction to go. I am going with you. And I got a code that you got to use, because that code is not 90% off. That code opens the gates of heaven. Just trust me. Believe in me. Follow me. And the reality of that, we got to hear that reality. That's one of the greatest truths, that Jesus is the way. No other religious movement in the world has that kind of an opportunity. Think about it. There were great prophets that came that founded movements. There were great teachers that came that taught about a way of life. But only one ever showed up on this planet and said, I'm not here to show you the way. I'm here to say, I am the way. And that is Jesus our Lord. Think about what that means. Every day, he's the way. Think about it. Every moment, he's the way. First time I went to do some prison ministry here with this church years ago, went out to the receiving center, which is where a lot of prisoners go through and process through out off the beach line. I got there and I walked up. I was scared to death. I'm like, man, this is a big place. And this big old black guy comes out. He's got all of his, you know, medals and guns and all that. And he looked at me, he goes, Pastor, I've been wanting to meet you. And he grabs me and hugs me. And I said, well, hey, man, nice to see you. And he goes, look, all you need to know is stay with me. I said, I got that. We walked in, and this lady behind the glass, she's just looking at me like, who are you? And I go, I'm with him. I'm with him. The next place we got to go through, I just said, I'm with him. I'm with him. Can I just tell you that one day, when I stand at those gates, I'm just going to say, I'm with him. But even better than that, Jesus is going to say, he's with me. I got him. That's what it means. He is the way. Now, people get all worked up over this next part. He's the only way. No one is coming to the Father but by Jesus. And people got all twisted up and weirded out. Oh, my God, I can't believe you Christians are so narrow. Really? You have trouble with that? Well, Disney's narrow-minded. You got to have a ticket to get in. Why don't we complain about that? You go to a college football game, got to have a ticket. And guess what? You can only sit in one seat. It's whatever seat's on there. I'll show you another example. We have a state and law enforcement that's so narrow-minded. I traded trucks recently, and this is the license plate off the old one. Why don't I just go out there and put it on the one that I have now? I did that one time. An officer was very nice to help me understand, even though this is my license plate, this doesn't go with the truck that it was on. And that is a bad, bad thing. Well, are y'all just narrow-minded? This is my license plate. Why can't I put it on anything that I want? See, everything has certain stipulations. Everything, you got to have a ticket. You got to. Jesus is just saying, hey, I'm the only way, but I am the way, and I want you to go with me. So it doesn't bother me that there's only one way. In fact, that's pretty exciting to know, because I know the way and I trust the way. So this is going to go on the right one, not the wrong one. And every one of us have had to live that and experience that. Jesus is saying, it's the only way you're going to go. He's with us every day. He's the shepherd. He never leaves his sheep. And remember, with him, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We don't need a thing. That's awesome. He is the way. And you know what else? He's the truth, the ultimate truth. What does that mean? He never changes. You know what it means when we say truth is relative? We live in a world today that truth is relative. I mean, everything is about, well, it's your truth. Doesn't mean it's their truth, it's your truth. Truth is relative. Relative means it depends on circumstances and context. Truth is relative. We hear it all the time. That's not referring to a cousin of yours. It is truth is dependent on a circumstance. For example, early on, I thought the goal literally a basketball was to take the ball, make it go in the hoop. Okay, this is NCAA playoff time, man. This is March Madness. This is some of us, we love this time of year. Is that an absolute truth? In other words, it doesn't depend on any other circumstance. The goal of basketball is to make that ball go through that hoop. Is that an absolute truth? Let me see. You believe it is? Raise your hand. I beg to differ. I know from experience that's not an absolute truth. You know why? It depends on which end of the court you're shooting. My first time in a basketball game, I learned that lesson. I made a great drive to the bucket and made 2 points for the other team. And the ref put his arm around me and he said, "Son, you realize you shot at the wrong goal." I said, "Yes, sir, I know now." That's not an absolute truth. It's relative, depending on circumstances, depending on certain things. When I say Jesus is the absolute truth, C.S. Lewis said it this way, he is absolute reality. It means he doesn't depend on anything else. There is no other fact that has to be truth for Jesus to be Lord. He's Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is truth. It's not about a vote. I know we say sometimes you can make Jesus Lord. No, you can't. He's already Lord. You just have enough sense to believe it and to honor it. Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know what that means to me? When I hear Jesus say he's the way and the truth, the ultimate truth, when your world is spinning, when everything in your life is moving and changing, you really need something that doesn't change. You run to something that you know. My mom, years ago, we didn't know she had a condition called Steven Johnson syndrome. It's basically a syndrome where she couldn't take sulfa-based drugs. She would go into reaction. Man, she went into this reaction. She had taken Bactrim, an antibiotic. She had a cold, sinus season, whatever, and she took this Bactrim. And we're sitting together as a family, and I'm sitting right by her, and all of a sudden, I look up, and her eyes roll back in her head, and she's violently shaking. And I'm like, Mom, you okay? And we realize something really is wrong. They were living in Texas at the time, and we immediately loaded her up and took off to the hospital. I remember that night so well because we got her there, and they began to try to deal with her. And the doctor came out, and he said, we really don't know what's happening to your mom, and we don't know what it is that's caused this. And they said, if you'd like to come in and see her, we want you to have a moment with her because we can't promise you she'll make it through the night. My dad looked at me, and he said, David, would you lead in a prayer around her bedside? I'm like, I will, Dad. We go in, and we're standing around her bed, and I'm looking at a mom that's always been there for me, and I just couldn't imagine her not being there, especially when we don't even know what's going on. And I tried to pray. What do you pray? I mean, yeah, Lord, heal her, but let me tell you where I found my comfort. Jesus, we may not know what's going on, but you're still the Lord. We may not understand this, but you are still Lord. So Jesus, we trust you. We believe in you. My mom recovered. She was able to get back to full strength, live many more years until she was 93 and passed. But that night taught me something. When your world is shaking, when you don't know what in the world to do, remember, Jesus is true. He is the truth. And when you don't know what to believe, I mean, think about the world we live in. You don't know what to believe. You're hearing so much stuff, so much noise. Remember COVID? I hate to bring it up. But there are so many different views and so many different ideas on masks, no masks, vaccines, no vaccines. I mean, there is a world of scientists who did not agree. That's the nature of life today. Who are you supposed to believe? Who are you supposed to listen to? I got one recommendation. His name is Jesus. That's about the only one I know. He is the truth. And whatever he says, I'm going to understand it because I just know he is the anchor for my life in a day like today. He's the way. He's the truth. And you know what else? He's the life. He's the source of life. You know why you're here today? Jesus. You know where you came from? Jesus. I can tell you the answer to everything about your existence is found in Jesus. And here's why. There is a passage in Colossians where Paul says it was through him, for him, and by him everything was created. Let me show it to you. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. Now let me show you something. You see the dominions, rulers, authorities, thrones, that is a code phrase for the demons. It's a code for hell, the demonic. So you're telling me that everything was created by him? Yeah, everything. Well, what happened to them? They rebelled. I mean, we know the story. They rebelled, and they said, well, they got a better way, and they needed to exercise rebellion against Jesus, and so there is now a war. But where did they come from? He created them. All things created through him and for him. That's how you got here. That's why you're here. You were created through him and you were created for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things, what? Hold together. You know what amazes me about this passage? It answers so many basic questions like, why am I here? How did I get here? And what is the purpose of my life? You find the answer to every one of them right there. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he's saying, guys, I'm the reason you're here. I'm going to take care of you. And I will be in every day with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you. And you know that mansion thing? I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You're thinking, oh, what's it going to be like? It's going to be better than anything you've ever experienced. Why? Because Jesus is there. He's your life. You woke up this morning. How come you got up? Jesus. Who put breath in your lungs? Jesus. Who's got a purpose for your life today? Jesus. I mean, he is the answer to all of this. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life what? Abundant. The word life, not in this, but back in the John passage, the word for life is Zoe. There are three words in Greek. Zoe means kind of the spiritual component of life. Psuche is the soul. And bios is more of a biological reference to our body. But I don't think it has to be divided up necessarily that closely because you'll see these words used interchangeably. I just think Zoe is really who you are. And it's the breath in your lungs. And it's the day that the Lord has given us today. I can sit here and look at you and I can know one thing about, I don't have to know your name. I have to know anything about you except this. Jesus brought you here today. You're here today because Jesus wanted you here. That's where we are. That's who we are. And guess what? Eternal life, it's all in him. Not only life on this earth, but life with him one day. This is what 1 John chapter 5 says. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's real simple. Do you have the Son of God? Do you have Jesus in your life? Well, then you got life. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you're alive. You are existing, but you don't have what he would call his real life. And the moment Jesus comes in, you've got life. And you know what that means to me? That means every day, no matter what you face, he's there. He's with you. And he's doing things in your life you can't imagine. I think for me, the best way I know how to show you, I got a call this week from my heart surgeon. And we talk often. Rachel and I are great friends with her. She called and said, hey, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing good. She said, hey, I one of your members I did surgery on, and they're a beautiful example of Christ. And I just made me think of you, and I just wanted to call and encourage you. She said, by the way, a patient of mine got a pillow, And I thought it was real interesting. I thought it might be something you would like. And I looked at it. She showed me a picture, and I said, oh, my. I'm calling Amazon right now. And so Amazon got it to me. She said, you don't need this pill anymore. I said, yeah, I do. You see what it says? Saved by Jesus and an amazing heart surgeon. And she said, you don't need that. That pillow is for your sternum when we have to crack your chest open and you need help when you're coughing or whatever. I said, I'm not getting it for that. I'm putting it in my office because I want to never forget that Jesus gave me life on that day. He was the great physician there. He took care of me. He used your hands. But I will forever give him praise because Jesus saved my life. He is life. So today, think about it. He's the way. He's saying, come on, follow me. I got you. I got a discount code for you. Come on, walk with me. He is the truth. He's saying, just believe me. A lot of stuff out there you can't believe. Just trust me. And I'm your life. I'll take care of you. So years ago, I got this book, The Nevertheless Principle. I lost the book, and I had to find one. This one is actually, somebody owned this book, and I bought it, and it paid a lot more than I should, but I wanted another copy of this book, The Nevertheless Principle. Let me tell you about that book. It's written by a missionary, a young lady, who she and her husband were serving as missionaries. He was diagnosed with cancer. Children were young. He died. And she complained and just struggled with God, saying, God, why would you take him away? Why would you take away? I need him. She says in the book, everywhere she'd go, she'd see families together. She'd see a mom with her children, but a dad would be right there, husband be right there. She kept saying, God, how come I'm left out? She started having a dream. She had the same dream three times. In her dream, she was in a park. She'd see all these kids playing, and every one of those kids had an ice cream cone, big old ice cream cone. And she's looking at all these kids, and then she sees one boy by himself on a park bench. He doesn't have an ice cream cone. He's just sitting there. And in her dream, she thought, I know what that's like because I don't have a husband. I don't have the father of my children anymore. She walks over in her dream to talk to this kid, and right when she gets there, she wakes up. It happened twice, just like that. But then it happened the third time. She was able to have a conversation in her dream that third time. This is what happened. She sat down by him. She said, hey, I understand what it's like not to have what everybody else has. I notice everybody has ice cream, and I want to buy you some ice cream. I feel sorry for you. I want you to have ice cream. He looked up at her and smiled. He goes, ma'am, you don't know who I am, do you? And she goes, no, who are you? He said, my father owns Baskin and Robbins. I can have all the ice cream I ever want. And she woke up. And she said, it was then the Lord said to her, I'm everything you'll ever need. Just trust me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, I'm taking you home with me one day. So this morning, I want you to bow with me just a second. Is there anyone in this room that has never said, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And by that I mean, have you put your faith in him and believed and said, Jesus, I'm turning from my life and my sin and my disappointment and frustration, and I'm turning to you because I believe you're everything I need. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. If you're on the stream, please, in this moment, trust me. Jesus said, if you believe and if you will receive, he has a gift for you. And that gift is the way, the truth, and life. So pray this with me. Jesus, thank you for what you said in these verses. Just tell him, Jesus, thank you for what you said. And today, Jesus, I believe you are the way. And I believe you are the truth. And you are the life. And Jesus, I will follow you the rest of my days. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. And today, I'm yours. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you prayed that, I just know God heard you. I know he did. But maybe for some of us that have already prayed that, we know that. It's just easy to forget that he is the way. It's easy to forget he's truth and that he's life. And so maybe today is the time to come back and go, you know what, Jesus, I haven't told you lately, but you're my king. You're my God. You're my shepherd.
Thanks again for listening to the First Orlando podcast. For more information like our service times, location, and other contact information, be sure to visit us online at firstorlando.com. Have a great week.